So here the Lord is showing his non-partiality. His equalness to everyone. And whatever one wants, one can turn to the Lord. One should turn to the Lord to fulfill his particular desires. And the Lord will certainly fulfill it. It's certainly within his power. And in fact, it's only by his power can any kind of desire be fulfilled. Even if one worships the demigods, still, it's only by the grace of the Lord who empowers the demigod to give the benediction to the devotee. So, the example is given in Krishna book that how the sky is there, and there are many birds there, but this, and each bird flies at its own capacity, at its own altitude. They all fly at different altitudes. There's eagles, they can fly very, very high, and the small little sparrows, they can hop around on low level. They're all flying in the sky, but according to one's capacity. That doesn't mean the sky is partial to the eagles and not partial to the sparrows. No, it's simply according to the capacity of the living entity. One can fly at high altitude or lower altitude. So there's nothing to do with the sky. So similarly, the desires of the living, the situations of the living entity are created by the living entities themselves. It's not the Lord who's creating these situations. It's the living entity, and the Lord is simply facilitating the desire. So, Krishna's ultimately advising that, yeah, you, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So it's Krishna's desire, sarvadhanam parityaja, surrender everything to me. And I will take care of you, I will protect you. There's no need to fear. So Krishna will supply everything we need. If we simply surrender to Krishna, he has promised that. Otherwise, we can imagine ourselves to be the doers and depend on our own abilities to achieve things. Krishna will also supply the necessities. So in both situations, Krishna, if one completely surrenders to the Lord will take care of him and give him what he needs. And even if one doesn't completely surrender, he turns to the Lord for some other benediction, still Krishna will fulfill his desires. So yeah, as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So we even see in for transcendentalists who are after spiritual realization, we get two classes. Generally, we get like the Goshtanandis and the Bhajananandis. Goshtanandis means those who are preachers. This movement is like a movement of Goshtanandi. We're trying to spread the holy name of the Lord in every town and village. And Bhajanandi is more one who's interested in his own spiritual advancement. So he's doing Nirjan Bhajan. Generally, he's alone, he does his bhajan, and he follows the principles very nicely. So there is a progression. Ado Shada, Shadu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Nata Nivriti. Step all the way up to Prema. So generally, those in the Bhajanandi line, they're very strictly following this, so they can actually judge how much advancement they're making. So to come to the stage of prema, it takes many, many lifetimes. And so you perform your bhajan very nicely, you become very purified, then you ultimately take birth in the family of pure Vaishnavas. And then from that birth, then you can actually attain your perfection. But that the process actually takes many, many births. But it works, of course. But the Gosan Nandi, he simply, he's also interested in his own spiritual welfare, but he knows his best interest or his greatest spiritual advancement or mercy from Krishna is that if he satisfies Krishna by his service, and he understands what does satisfies Krishna. Krishna likes, you know, that the holy name be spread in every town and village of the world. So as Krishna's servant, yes, let me do that because this will be satisfying Krishna. So he's more thinking of others rather than his own self. So this very much pleases Krishna, and Krishna is very pleased to bless such a person who dedicates his life for expanding Krishna's mission for the benefit of others. That's his greatest benediction, and Krishna, he blesses that person. He can come back home at the end of this one lifetime. This is Prabhupada's indication that, yes, one lifetime, why not? You can go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. But the Bhajan Nandi, he thinks, I can't go back to Godhead. Nobody can go back to Godhead unless they're completely purified, unless you're showing symptoms, all these different symptoms. Only then you can go back to Godhead and attain perfection. So that's their endeavor, to attain to this perfection, then this perfection, then this perfection. And so Krishna says, okay, that's how you're approaching me. As you surrender, and may I reward you accordingly. This is your mentality, that only if you're completely pure, then you can actually just completely surrender to Krishna and achieve the grace of Krishna. So Krishna says, okay, because that's the way you're approaching me, then I reward you accordingly. So then it will take you many, many births to have this purity and perfection. So this is the basic difference between a Gosanandi and a Bhajanandi. The process, it does take many births, purifying one's own existence and coming to some perfectional stage. But the Gosanandis, actually, they're depending more on Krishna's mercy rather than their own abilities. And so because they completely surrender on Krishna, okay, you surrender to me completely, then I reward you completely. Okay, you can come back to Godhead. So it becomes easier for the devotees, or quicker for the devotees, because they're depending on Krishna's mercy. In Bhagavad Gita also, it's 18th chapter, probably verse 50-something, 54 or something like that. And there Krishna says that all of my devotees, as they render service unto me, they will come back home. They come back home to me. Maybe someone else can explain. Okay. Is it? Maybe. 18? Okay, not that one then. Maybe 50. Oh, 56. Oh, 56. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. So, in the Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's translation, he mentions that, or he carries a dialogue on Arjuna, is saying, what is your logic here, Krishna? You're saying all of my devotees, although engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotees, under my protection, reach the eternal imperishable abode by my grace. But we see, well, the devotees are engaged in different activities. But your devotees, you have like a sannyasi devotee, and He's fully absorbed in your service 24 hours a day. And you have a grihastha devotee, but he can't be fully absorbed in your service because he has to go out and work hard. He has, you know, so much maintenance to do and find so many find the ways and means of, you know, just existing. And so, and then he comes home in the evening and he only has a couple of hours he can give, or a little bit in the morning before he goes to work, a little bit of more direct Krishna consciousness. So how you can say that they all reach our abode, Krishna, all of my devotees, they're all engaged in different activities? He said you can't say that the grihastha and the sannyasi, they have completely different activities. The sannyasi is completely renounced. The grihastha doesn't appear to be so renounced as the sannyasi. He's got a big family. And the sannyasi generally has a lot more knowledge because that's all he's got to do. He studies the shastras and he engages in the grihastha. He doesn't have much time to study and he has a little bit. So I can't understand your logic here, Krishna. All of my devotees, all are engaged in all different activities, they all come back to me. And Krishna says, yes. He said the logic is, it's illogical. This is the logic of this statement. It's illogical. But he said, by my grace, they all come back to me. Krishna's grace is the point. By my grace, they all come back to me. Because the grihastha is in a situation because of his previous karma. And the sannyasi is in that situation because of his previous karma. He was renounced enough due to previous karma to become a sannyasi. And the grihastha, he wasn't so renounced, so he's in a position according to his karma. So they're both in a position according to their karma. And according to the karma of a sannyasi, he's got 24 hours a day to give to Krishna, and he gives it. But the grihastha's karma, he's only got a few hours a day, direct Krishna consciousness. But he gives it to Krishna. That's all he's got. He's only got 2 hours in a day or whatever it is. But he gives everything to Krishna. So Krishna says, from my angle of vision, I see they're giving everything. According to his karma, the sannyasi's got 24 hours to give. He gives it. And according to the grihastha, he's only got 2 hours to give. But he gives it. So I see him both, they're giving everything. So therefore, they both come back to my supreme abode. They go back, both back to Loka. By my grace. So this is a non... differential condition of Krishna. So they've taken to the process of surrendering, and according to their karma, you know, one appears to be surrendering more than the other, but from Krishna's angle, it's no, whatever they got, they surrender to me. So therefore, I take them both back. So yeah, so it's a progression of how we can surrender to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not even desiring or asking for us to surrender, because he knows it's too difficult for everyone to surrender. When Krishna appeared here, he made the demand, sarvadhanam paritajamamika. But he saw people could not many people can do that. So again, when he comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, how can I can't make that same demand in Kali Yuga. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't make any demand. He's just giving. Here, take the holy name, take the chanting of Hare Krishna. I'm giving you Krishna in the form of his own holy name. You're getting Krishna directly. Just take. This is Mahaprabhu's mercy. But not everybody can take also. And why they cannot take? He said, "Why? What? Some are fortunate; they can take one. What, Some cannot take. What is the symptom of an unfortunate person who cannot take? And Nityananda Prabhu says, is it Nityananda? Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Anyway, in the Nabadita Dhamma Mahatmya, Nityananda is speaking to Jiva Goswami. Yeah, some can, Mahaprabhu has come to give, some take, the fortunate ones can take, and the unfortunate ones they don't take. He's offering to everyone. Then it says, what is the symptom of the unfortunate person who cannot take? And he said the symptom is that that person is proud of his own abilities. He's very much attached to his own abilities as a kami or a jnani or a yogi. I'll do it my way. I'll make my advancement. Do it my way. Because that's our experience in conditional life. We've always, depending on our own abilities to achieve things, because of the identification of being the doer and the enjoy of our results. So, it's still, even when Mahaprabhu is giving, you know, the goal is Krishna, so here is Krishna, he's giving. Chant Hare Krishna. Krishna's here in his holy name, I'm giving. But still, he said, because we're proud of our own abilities, I'll get it my own way. So then Krishna is there simply to facilitate our desires. But he is open for everyone. A person can immediately accept what he's giving as his divine grace, or a person can do it his own way and eventually, after many births, become purified. But it's not that Krishna is favorable to one and not to another. He's especially in his incarnation of Mahaprabhu, he's directly offering Krishna to the living entities. That is why he's Mahapadanaya, Sabhabhuma Bhattacharya, said he's come. So Gonitai have come to give Krishna in the form of his own holy name. And it's simply up to the living entities to accept that. Yeah, so Sabhavum Bhattacharya, he's the beautiful verse. He is Mahabhadanaya, he's giving what no one else offered. But he's come to teach Adyuta Vairagya. Vairagya bit, okay. Vairagya bit. Knowledge and renunciation, yes? Like that, okay. So first Mahaprabhu is coming. He is Mahabhadanaya, he is giving. You take it. If you can't take it, then here is your Yuta Vairagya, the process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving you a process. So he's come to teach Yuta Vairagya. He's come to give prema. He's come to give Krishna. Therefore, Mahabhanaya. But if you cannot receive it, then he's come to teach Yutavaya. Because you cannot teach prema. It's something that's there. It's a spontaneous thing. But that's what he's come to give. If you can't accept what they're giving, then Yutavaya here, you're at the process of that you can learn, that you can study, that you can give, you can teach people. So this is Krishna's mercy. He's open for everyone, but not everybody can take it. Okay, so then follow the practice of Yukta Vairagya, which is unfortunately most people in this world, because whatever reason, we cannot accept that mercy, simply accept it, that Mahaprabhu is given. We're proud of our own abilities. This is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioning that. And that's restricting us from receiving that the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Any questions?